everyone. It's a whole new world here at Disflix Tickets. I am Cassie, your host, and for this episode, I will be reviewing the live-action version of Disney's Aladdin. Welcome back to Disflix Tickets, an extra episode from Disflix and Tidbits, where I, Cassie, tell you about how I felt about the newest Disney film that came out in theaters. Any warning for those who are listening to this before watching the movie, I tend to separate any spoilers towards the end of the podcast in case you don't want any of the details. I aptly name it the Spoiler Zone and will let you know when it starts. So before I get into talking about Aladdin and tell you what I thought about it, I wanted to give a shout out to Part of Our World podcast, which I will be guest starring on one of their episodes in the next couple days, where we all get to talk about Aladdin with each other. It is a great podcast about Disney everything. They talk about movies, they talk about parks, and my personal favorite episodes where they give you park tips on what to do when you're going to any of the Disney parks. They're mostly talk about Walt Disney World, and they're actually headed to Walt Disney World here in the next coming week. It's hosted by Keenan and Rachel, and they are a fabulous pair of people to talk Disney with. And so I hope that you get to listen to this to that episode over there at Part of Our World, and hopefully subscribe to them too.
You stumbled upon an opportunity. I can make you rich. Rich enough to impress a princess.
What would I have to do?
There's a cave of wonders. Bring me the lamp.
On March 24th, Aladdin was released in theaters, flying high on the Disney remake trend. To some disappointment to fans after witnessing the string of Disney remake films like Beauty and the Beast from 2017, the not-so-live-action but CGI Jungle Book in 2016, and the most recent Dumbo from earlier this year in 2019. Although out of those recent remakes, Aladdin seemed to be the most talked about so far, which all started with the casting choice of the genie, who was Will Smith. As Disney fans, what made Aladdin so timeless and enjoyable was the late Robin Williams as the genie, which the character was literally made for Williams before any casting choice was made. His style of comedy, almost perfect improvisations and impressions, is what made Genie stand out in this film. Something Robin Williams was against from the beginning, making a deal with Disney before signing on that his voice and image would not be used for marketing, and his character's image would not be more than 25% of space for advertising. Disney did go back on this promise, but that is a story for another time. Since Robin Williams made the genie, and probably arguably became many of the Disney fans' favorite character, the genie became untouchable and thus made everyone question Will Smith's ability to bring the character to life in a live-action sense. Then came the first look of the CGI genie in a special look trailer from early February of this year in 2019, which sparked a lot of negative chatter amongst fans. The CGI used to make Will Smith blue and, well, mystical and float like the animated genie looked really off to people. Many were tearing this genie look apart and criticizing it, myself included. Something was off, and it wasn't making Disney fans happy, further concluding that Disney needs to stop remaking these classic Renaissance films before they ruin them any further. CGI was a concern, Jafar was hot, Will Smith being the genie. These are the three main concerns. Well, I'm not sure that Jafar being hot was a concern or not, but it was a very popular talking point and it shook people to their core. I recently watched a video by Corridor Crew on YouTube named VFX Artists React to Bad and Great CGI Part 2. It was an interesting 40-minute video of these artists explaining why Will Smith's Blue Genie looks a bit off to us, and how our minds perceive this in the end. I suggest you probably watch this video at some time, just to have a little bit of better understanding of where the VFX artists are coming from and why the genie actually looks off to us. It's a very interesting watch, and I do recommend it. But all aside, let's talk about 2019's Aladdin and find out what I thought. As you know, if you've been listening to Disflix and Tidbits, 1992's Aladdin is my favorite Disney animated film of all time. I watched it so much as a kid, I can still damn near recite every word of the movie without any help. I even had a cassette tape of the movie's soundtrack, which I played so much that the tape ribbon literally snapped. And I know I'm confusing some of my listeners when I said tape ribbon and cassette. Just Google it. Don't make me feel as old as I feel right now. I religiously bought the sequels to Aladdin, as horrible as they were, and watched the Disney Channel series. I loved Aladdin, and I still do. Everyone has that favorite movie, and this was mine. Many of my friends and family were constantly asking me what I felt about this movie becoming a live-action remake, and I would always exclaim that I was excited. And then I became really quiet when everyone was cast. And then I became very, very vocal with my husband when I saw the genie for the first time. I was skeptical, not scared. When I first saw The Genie, I was skeptical. There was so much negative criticism before the movie, I was starting to think the same as everybody else, until I just kind of flushed everything away, trying not to think about anything until I watched the movie. So I went in with no expectations whatsoever. I just wanted to listen to the songs again. So, this movie was such a pleasant surprise to me. It was so much fun and entertaining from beginning to even through the credits. Aladdin isn't changing anything from the original cartoon, but it kind of adds life to the story with some welcoming changes, which allows the characters like Aladdin and Genie and Jasmine to grow and learn within the film's 2-hour runtime compared to the 90-minute runtime that the animated film had. I believe Mina Massoud that plays Aladdin was a great casting choice, an actor that not only looks like a real-life Aladdin, but is a very similar sounding as Scott Wigner, who was the original voice for Aladdin. But that shouldn't take that away from his performance at all, or downplay his acting talent. He is a great actor, and this movie goes to show how great of an actor he is. He was such a great choice as he showed us that he had heart, he had humor, and even had a wonderful singing voice to play this titular role. I can't see anyone else who would play Aladdin better than Mina Massoud, and gosh, he just nailed it out of the park. He is Aladdin. Naomi Scott was also a smash hit in the casting, who seemed to be made for this role as Princess Jasmine. We get a stronger, more independent Jasmine in the 2019 remake, and she was downright amazing. She was great, and her acting really just sticks with you after watching this. Now, with Will Smith and a genie, I thought he did a great job. It was clearly Will Smith and not Will Smith playing anybody else. He wasn't playing Robin Williams. He wasn't playing something else. It was Will Smith being the genie. He definitely made this role his own, and he excels in many of the parts of this movie. I gotta say, the star of the movie that takes the cake and wraps everything together for such a fun summer flick is the music. The great Alan Menken comes back as the composer, bringing back to life the score and the songs that we loved in the original with some added flair for this remake. The first lines of Arabian Nights, you know, the very first song from the movie. Made me immediately smile and get goosebumps and just got me reared up for this movie when it first started. Those first notes of Arabian Nights is what just sold it for me, that I knew Alan Menken was coming back and he was gonna do such a great job with the music, which he did. It flowed so well throughout the whole movie. Even though we got many of the same songs, they still felt different and they still felt classic at the same time. It was just nostalgia and excitement all mixed in one, just watching this story replay out in front of you again. That was like one of my favorite parts of this whole movie. Also, I gotta mention during the credits, in Disney fashion, they make modern versions of the most popular songs of the movie, in this case, A Whole New World and A Friend Like Me, and they kinda like make it modern, so of course A Friend Like Me was gonna be sung by Will Smith, but it's like a rap version, but it's with DJ Khaled. I'm not a fan of DJ Khaled. I'm not a fan of someone screaming out their name every 5 seconds. And then we also have a modern version of A Whole New World. Nothing against it. It sounds beautiful. I don't really know the artists who sing it, but I prefer the original, definitely. This is a soundtrack that I know that I will be buying. Guy Ritchie is the unprecedented director of this film, who was most notable for 2005's Revolver and 2009's Sherlock Holmes and its sequel. And if you watched any of these movies, you can definitely tell he has the man behind Aladdin with certain aesthetic high-speed photography scenes. These are like the slow and fast type of scenes. Unlike many of his other films, they aren't as tinted or darkened as those films. In this one, this magical movie is filled with color and exuberant characters that we all love, and it's just pretty neat how Guy Ritchie inserted his type of aesthetic into this movie. It was a nice touch. I know that I'm kind of being very cheerful about this movie so far, alluding to the fact that there isn't anything wrong. There are problems, and those I have noticed. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, the CGI isn't quite there, and I'm not sure if it's because of actual bad CGI or the fact that our minds are so used to CGI with green and blue screens that we can spot computer animation from a mile away. At this point, with technology, it's hard to disguise fake animals that aren't there, like Boo and Raja and Iago. We can't try to convince our brains that floating blue genies are real, or even if this beautiful mid-eastern port town actually exists. It doesn't. It's a fantasy world. These are fantasy characters, and this is a fantasy story. So it's kind of hard to have CGI create something that our minds don't really perceive as true. So is it bad CGI, or is it our brains are trained to know what CGI look like? So you kind of have to accept things and move on and enjoy the story for what it is. Unfortunately, that would mean this movie will not age as well. It'll probably be good for another like 5 years, but after that, CGI and technology are just gonna get better and more realistic. So yeah, that is the downfall of bringing a fantastical world like Aladdin to life. So if you enjoy the story for what it is and follow the characters in their journey, I believe you will enjoy this movie. And reminisce along with nostalgia of the songs and the premise. So don't try to compare. As hard as that sounds, comparing will just make you hypercritical, which will distract you and your brain from enjoying the movie for what it is. It's a movie. If you're already planning on seeing this in the theaters, that means you're interested in it. So that's good. Go watch it. So don't try to give these high expectations by putting it side by side next to the original, because it's never going to compare to the original. Nothing's going to compare to animated and vice versa half the time. If you can't let it go, though, that this is a remake of a movie that shouldn't be remade, or that Will Smith will not be a great genie, I suggest that you probably wait and rent it, or probably just not see it at all, because obviously you don't like the fact that this was made. But I do believe that this movie was meant to be enjoyed as what it is, a fun movie. I believe that this is a great family movie for your family with kids at 7 and older, possibly. A younger audience under 7 may like this film strictly because of the genie, because he's very lively and very animated, and he is in there for the majority of the film, but I don't know about the rest of the film. It really depends. You know your child better. There are some few scary moments for a younger audience, like the Cave of Wonders and some parts concerning Jafar towards the end, but nothing too out there or anything to be concerned about. There's like no jump scares or anything. It's just when I went to the IMAX viewing, it was just very loud during those parts, so that may scare a younger audience if you go to an IMAX. So if I had to rank this film from a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it a 7. I know it's a bit high for a lot of people that are watching this movie. It's like not the greatest film ever, but I must put a disclaimer in there and say I'm a very biased party, since I love the original Aladdin, and this made me relive the original Aladdin by seeing my favorite characters being brought to life, singing my favorite Disney songs. So I'm very biased. That's why it's so high. I also added a point for replay value, because as I'm recording this, I've already watched it twice in theaters. Something I rarely do with movies, since I get really agitated watching something again in a theater because I know what's going to happen next. But both times I watched it, I was just delighted with those iconic songs were sung, and I just really enjoyed this movie and probably think that this is probably the best live action remake. As for if you should watch this in the theaters or not, that mostly relies on your own personal opinion. If you're on the fence about it, hate remakes, hate Will Smith as the genie, or have no opinion whatsoever on it, then I suggest you probably should just wait to rent it. Otherwise, I say go see it in the theaters and enjoy it. Enjoy the Disney magic that is Aladdin. So, if you haven't seen the movie yet and don't want to be spoiled by the details of the movie, I suggest you turn to the next podcast in your playlist, because I'm going to talk about something that may spoil some plot points to you. Spoiler Zone starts now.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Y'all see my palace?
You look like a prince on the outside, but I didn't change anything on the inside. Showtime.
No, I'm in charge, okay? I say when it's time. Really?
So with Aladdin, there isn't much of a spoiler zone, since it's a remake of a beloved Disney movie, with the exception of new fans and those who have never watched it before. But the spoiler zone will be more about the details of the movie that could be spoilers, because as I said before, they changed the story a bit, either in turn of events or have changed things completely. So usually in my spoiler zone area, I do the pros and the cons of what I liked about the film and just talk more about the details about certain things. I don't go too overly detailed about the whole movie, but that's where I'm coming from. So I start out with the pros. My number one pro is Mina Massoud. This movie is called Aladdin, and they picked a great Aladdin. I know Mina Massoud does not have a lot in his filmography. He's only 27 years old, so he has a whole life ahead of him for great accolades, and this could be one of the starting points. Not saying that this is a great movie. I know there are more brilliant and more spectacular movies out there, but in a Disney sense, I think this was a great movie because they accomplished something that they wanted to accomplish, and that was to make a very fun movie. If you notice, if you look at the Disney Renaissance films, there's a lot of very serious movies in that line. We have Little Mermaid, we have Beauty and the Beast, then we have Aladdin, and then we have The Lion King and Hercules and Mulan and everything. If you notice, like, with Aladdin, it was more of a fun film. It was overall fun. There was not anything too serious about it. It was just fun and magic, while the other ones were a little bit more serious. Lion King was adapted after Hamlet, which is a very serious play, and it has very serious tones in The Lion King as well. So it's just gonna be, when that comes out in July, it's gonna be a little heavier than, say, this Aladdin. So I know I went off on a tangent here, but reeling back to Mina Massoud, I can't say anything more but great compliments to this guy, because he nailed down this part exactly. Aladdin is my favorite movie. Aladdin is my favorite character from this movie. And the fact that they picked a strong actor like Mina is just he just made this movie, along with Will Smith and along with Naomi Scott. They all made this movie because in the beginning it says, let me tell you about a story about a prince, a princess, and a lamp. It is about those three. That's what the story is about, but it's mainly Aladdin, and I'm just repeating myself at this point, but he was great. His singing voice was great. One Jump Ahead is my favorite song of Aladdin, and I think he did a great job. It's a little different, but I like different. I like that they didn't try to do a shot for shot here, so One Jump Ahead is so great. And then we also have A Whole New World, which is awesome. And he just has a great singing voice. He has a great presence. He has a timing for humor, which is awesome. He took this character and he made it his own without trying to be something that he's not. And that is the main point of this whole movie, is to be yourself. And friendship is always there, and friendship is key. So my next pro is Naomi Scott. How can you not say that she was not made for this character? She is the epitome of Jasmine. She looks the part, but not only she has the voice for it, she has the demeanor for it, she has that stern look, and she has the presence. With Jasmine in this movie, we get to see something a little bit different. Jasmine has always been like the strong, outspoken princess of the Renaissance era. I know Mulan is probably the strongest princess here because of what she does, but Jasmine is the most outspoken princess because she stood up for herself. Even in a monarchy that she lived in under the Sultan, but she knew that she wasn't just a prize. She wanted to do something with her life. She didn't want to be in a palace of all things. She was independent. She was fierce. And Naomi Scott captured that. The writers and the directors kind of expanded on it without going overboard where it was too unrealistic. They kind of modernized Princess Jasmine in such a great way. She is very empowering, and she gets a new song called Speechless, where she sings about how she's always being talked down to, always told to be silent and to be quiet and to know her place. And she speaks up, and she knows that she can handle it. She knows that she needs to learn more too. She doesn't think that she's like the greatest. She knows that she needs to learn more, but she knows that she has the power to become the Sultan. And that's what I liked about it. And she owned it. She didn't make it too out there, I guess I would say. But yeah, so way to go. She's our new Princess Jasmine, Naomi Scott. The next thing on my list is The Changes. Now, this is pretty darn awesome, that the fact that they changed the story a little bit. They didn't do a shot for shot, which makes me think that they learned their lesson from Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast was shot for shot for shot for shot, with even almost the same words from the movie, but they know they needed to make it longer to fit like a theatrical release, because nothing's 90 minutes anymore, right? When they added the scenes in Beauty and the Beast, it felt forced, and you knew those were different. In Aladdin, yeah, they used some same lines, they still used the same premise, but things were out of order. And things changed, and things were added, but nothing felt like it was forced. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, in the beginning, instead of meeting with the Cave of Wonders, as the animated story starts off with, we get kind of a Arabian Nights montage of all the characters in their own setting as we're flying through Agrabah. Instead of meeting Aladdin first, where he sings One Jump Ahead, we're meeting Aladdin as soon as he meets Jasmine, and then he sings One Jump Ahead while they're trying to escape the guards. I thought that was brilliant. It's a little change of pace. We need a little change of pace, because that movie was from the 90s. We are over 20 years later. Oh my gosh. things need to change. Things need to be modernized. And with that, if you're going to make a remake, you got to change it up a bit so the audiences can keep their attention span with your movie. Agrabah as a port town, that I thought that was awesome. It made for a more beautiful view of Agrabah. It wasn't pertinent to the story, but it just made it a more beautiful scenic place. We also got a new addition to the story where Aladdin sneaks into the castle to meet with Jasmine. I thought that was neat. We got a handmaid named Dahlia that was in there. I'm not so keen on her, but what works, you know? Maybe Dahlia needed to be in there, but she was a change in there. We also got a dance scene. There's a lot of great changes to this film that make it unique while still following the story of Aladdin. So that's what I liked. The music, which I've already touched up on, I mean, how can you not say that Alan Menken's music in this was not good? It's great. The classic songs in here, the classic scores in here, that Arabian Night intro is just amazing. What I have on here too is Iago. He is probably the least noticeable CGI animal in here. I did not notice he was CGI as much as like Abu and Raja, probably because he's a smaller animal, but I loved the look of him. He looked realistic. I loved how Jafar used him as a weapon towards the end. I thought that was cool. And plus, Alan Tudyk is the voice of Iago, and I thought he was great. He had the voices down, like voice of a parrot, so perfectly. Just like, he wasn't too much like in the animated film with Gilbert Gottfried, you know, how scratchy his voice is and so in your face. Alan Tudyk was not so in your face, but you can tell he had a presence and you can just hear it off in the distance, his little wisecracks here and there. I just thought it was perfect. I loved Iago in this film. You would never hear me say that about the animated film, so that's something. And then my final pro was Aladdin and Genie's friendship. Now, this is what I loved about the original film, is it wasn't about just the genie, as the marketing and the commercials say it is, or how Disney tries to push the genie still to this day because it's the late Robin Williams voice. Aladdin was about not only magic, but about this too friendship, because the genie was always used to unkind masters that were always power hungry. Then he met Aladdin, who was the diamond in the rough, who showed that he had a heart of gold. And Aladdin came together as friends, and it's very short, it is, in that 90-minute film, but there is a friendship there, and that is the reason why Genie saved Aladdin for his second wish. It was that friendship that led them together through that journey. Without that friendship, I don't think Aladdin would have won in the end, and which therefore would have freed Genie. And that's what I loved about it. It was about friendship and also to be yourself. Those were the two lessons. And in this movie, it kind of expanded on this greatly in such a magnificent way. With this two-hour movie, they were able to expand on that friendship between Aladdin and Genie. And we got to see more of it, which I adored. Friends do fight, so there was a fight in there. And instead of the genie being upset that he wouldn't get that third wish to set him free, he was upset that Aladdin wasn't being himself anymore, and he was turning away and drinking from that cup. And I love that dynamic, and you felt it at the end once the genie was free and they hugged. You felt that kindness, and you felt that friendship, and you felt that everything in that hug. At least I did. I don't know about you, but I did. And it was all due to that friendship that was progressed throughout the whole movie. So those were my pros. Those were my main pros. I know the changes were like a little up and down. There's some changes that were some good, some that weren't bad, but overall the story changes were my favorite. So the cons. Now, I only have four in here, but they're kind of major. One of the cons for me, my number one was Jafar. Jafar in the animated film, he was very calm and collected, but he had that very baritone voice that sent shivers down your spine. And you could tell people, like, the beginning of the film, I forget that thief that he captured to put into the Cave of Wonders first thief, you could tell that he was cowering under Jafar, and many of the characters do cower under Jafar because of his gaze, not just his voice, but his gaze, but the voice did help, and he didn't really lose himself. What I mean by losing himself is that he never raised his voice until he was going stark, raving mad. You know, there was that point during the Cave of Wonders where Aladdin was trying to get help, but that was because there was so much noise. But he was losing his head at that point, so he was screaming then. And then he was screaming towards the end. So the calm demeanor, and when he was screaming and yelling, you knew something was going off in his head because he was so cool and collective, you know? But in this movie, it seemed like Jafar was screaming all the time. And I don't know if it was because he knew that his voice wasn't menacing enough and his stare wasn't menacing enough, that's why he chose to scream a lot, because he seemed to, like, lose his head during, like, right before the dance scene when he pulls Aladdin to the side when he didn't know it was Aladdin yet. And he was, like, almost about to yell at Aladdin, but then he tried to hypnotize him, and the genie... Like, why did he need to yell? I didn't understand that conversation to begin with, but he was always yelling. It wasn't until the very end, until we knew his madness, and it kind of shone through, and then you're like, oh, he is, like, kind of frightening in this aspect. But other than that, I wasn't liking his character. Not in the good way where it's like, ooh, he's a bad villain. But no, it was just like, I didn't feel it from him. He felt like he wasn't into his character at all, you know? You know what I mean? I just wish he was a little bit more menacing, or that glare that he had towards the end of the film, if he had that more, I don't know. I just didn't like him. Another con, been mentioning this a lot, the CGI. Now, I'm not going to talk about Genie's CGI because I don't think it could have been improved at this point. He's a flying genie who doesn't really have legs. How can you, like, he's going to look fake no matter what you do. So I'm not going to touch up on that. If you want to know why the CGI genie did not look right, go back to that video that I suggested in the very beginning of this episode. It's a VFX artists react to good and bad CGI part 2. You'll understand why it looks off. But technology isn't there, I don't think. The CGI I'm talking about is certain things, like the pan of Agrabah from the beginning. There was some things that just seemed off, that was very blurry, and it just kind of broke the fantasy a little bit. I know this is a fantasy place, so a lot of things need to be CGI, but it's everything in it that was CGI, it's hard to not notice it. Like I said before, I don't know if it's because we're trained to already know what CGI looks like, or if it's actually bad CGI, but it is a contention in this film that I would be remiss if I didn't mention it at all. Another one was Dahlia. I can't think of the actress's name at the top of my head, but I did not like Dahlia. I did not understand the reason why she needed to be there other than being Genie's love interest. Yeah, she just, her deadpan face and delivery just didn't do it for me. And other than trying to hook up with Genie, I didn't see the use of her, because she didn't really provide that much of a friendship to Jasmine, so not sure what she added to this film. I especially did not like a cut to her during the Prince Ali song, where they're like the Golden Camels lyric. It cuts to her and she's like rubbing her fingers together at Jasmine. I didn't understand that cut to her, and that just made me think she was more annoying than she was just because of that. Like, who does that? Like, who sees Golden Camels in this parade about a prince and you're rubbing your fingers together to show that he's rich? Jasmine is richer than any prince in this whole freaking country. Why does she need to point out that the prince is rich? Who cares? I don't know. That's just my own little personal bias there. And the last thing is the commercials. I don't know what's up with Disney and commercials and trailers and everything, but it just seemed as soon as they hit that official trailer, they were knocking trailers out of the park here and there, and they were showing everything. Now, I know we've already seen Aladdin. Most of us seen Aladdin. We know the story, but why do you have to release so many trailers exposing so many scenes? There was so many scenes spoiled from trailers, and they just kept going and going and going that I had to like avoid these trailers so I wouldn't be spoiled from any more of the film. And I'm just so glad that they did not spoil that embarrassing scene when Prince Ali finally goes into the castle and meets the Sultan and Jasmine and everyone. And you know that secondhand embarrassing scene where Aladdin's not saying the right words and everybody's just embarrassed for him. That was a great scene. That was probably one of my favorite scenes, and I kept laughing every time I watched that. But I'm glad that they didn't spoil that, but everything else seemed to be spoiled for us if you continue to watch those first looks. Another thing that kind of connects to Dahlia is that they showed Dahlia. They told everyone her name. They showed her in doll form, so we knew who Dahlia was, and it kind of broke the first scene of this film of who the genie married. So you already knew that Dahlia was the love interest of the genie from the very first scene of him on the boat with the kids. Not saying that we didn't know that was the genie or not. That was mimicking the sales merchant from the original animated film, because that was voiced by Robin Williams too. I understand that they were going back and forth, but they kept the mother's face hidden, and so she had her back to us in the very first scene. But if you watched all the commercials or watched anything about Aladdin, you knew instantly that was Dahlia. So why did you do that? Why couldn't you just save that and hide her from there? Because I don't think she was mentioned in the casting as much as like Will Smith is, because they're pushing Will Smith more than anyone. It's just, why put that in there if that was supposed to be a surprise at the end? I don't know. It just, what I'm saying is, Disney, you need to hold your horses on your commercials and quit exposing the most like 35% of your film, even more than that, through your commercials and trailers. Settle down. I know Solo bombed last year at the same weekend, but still, you need to have faith in some of your movies. So that's what I thought. Those were my pros and cons about the movie. I probably could talk more about this forever, but I probably should quit. I could talk about this more forever and ever and ever, but I won't. I would like to know what you think about Aladdin. What did you think about this movie overall? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Let me know what your favorite or least favorite parts of the movie, and how would you rate it from a 1 to 10 rating scale? I would really like to know, and if you hate it, let me know why. Not that I will get mad at you that you didn't hate it, because I loved it. I understand that there's problems with this film. I just would like to know what others did not like about this film, what they thought were negative. It just would be very interesting for me. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Disflix Tickets. The next movie review will be Toy Story 4.